This is You Versus You. Dave Woods here speaking.
Alicia Morales
also speaking. So this is episode 5, You Versus You. This one is called Record and Review. And why do you think that's important? Well, I'm glad you tuned in. I'll tell you why. So before I begin that, there might be someone listening for the first time, and you might be saying, oh, I want to hear what this is all about. How do I lose weight? How do I work on a goal? How do I stay motivated? Well, let me give you a quick synthesis of my backstory. So the point of this podcast is to tell you about what I did to lose 100 pounds, what I wish I knew before I started the journey, and to give you golden nuggets of wisdom that I learned along the way. This is just a moment of saying, man, there's so many things I could have done differently, but the greatest wisdom is learned from experience. Sometimes it's heartbreaking, but that's how you get it. So I'll tell you what I know, and you apply it, and then tell me how it works. So year one took almost 4 years to the date. How to do it. Was weighing in at 335. I was 31 years old. More built like an ox, like an out of shape ox, but an ox nonetheless. And I was playing for the South Orange Gators, right? The rugby team. And they had just disbanded, and I was on the hunt for a new rugby squad. At the time, I was teaching catechism at St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa, and it just so happened that the Back Bay Sharks, the men's rugby team, held their practice on the field outside of the school the same exact time I was volunteering there. So one day after class, I was walking back to my car, and a lot of the guys were just congregating after a practice, and I said, hey, you guys looking for a prop? That's the position that I played. It was a forward. And it's funny because every rugby team are always looking for props, right? That's like the position you always need. And so that's what they said. They're like, we could always use one more. So I joined and started playing again. And when I played, I said, this was a little bit more challenging than I remember because I didn't realize they were D2. So I was used to D3 and going at my own pace, you know, still challenging, but D2's, there's a gap. Or I should say there's a discrepancy or a leveling up that happens that is significant. And when you're already slowing down and you play with these people who have not slowed down, you feel the difference. So at the end of that season, I said, all right, this is painful. I don't like getting beat up by people that are half my size, only because they have the endurance and stamina. I think I need to change some things. So long story short, the season was a rude awakening into the painful realization that what mentally I was able to do physically was not able to do. And in order to not continue getting beat up, you know, I'm here to play. This is fun. This is a sport, right? I said, I need to get in shape. So baby girl was on the next thing that happened. We were expecting a new life. So I said, I don't want to be that fat dad. You know, like that really bothers me when people say dad bod, but you know, it's true. It's true. That happens. You know, you're not spring chicken anymore, right? So those two factors really motivated me to make a change. And so that's what I did. And that's what I'm here to share with you guys now. So I said, what can I do now in these circumstances? Should I lose 25 pounds, 50 pounds, right? I said, why not 100 pounds? Just go for the gusto, right? And so I wrote that down to say, if I lose 100 pounds, I will be slightly over the weight that I was in undergrad when I was in my prime. And so I said, let's do it. And it felt like the universe conspired against me because that's when global pandemic hit. Right in that moment of being, oh, I'm going back to the gym with this in mind, right? So the gyms were closed. And I said, okay, what can I do in these circumstances? Oh, I can watch what I eat, and I can walk more. I can get my cardio on. So rolling with the punches, that's what I did. and started to experiment along the way in terms of what I could do. I had mentioned before Jeff Nippard's card game, where you assign an exercise to a suit, and then whatever that number is, you add 12 more reps to it. If it's a face card, then it's 20 out of the bat, out of the gate. And then if it's an ace, you get a 3-minute break. So that is pretty much the premise. But oh, I did not mention this part. So I had, in doing some reflection, I remembered in high school, the team, the rugby team, would have a training with the Penn State college kids, right? With their team. And this is, you know, D1 rugby. We're in high school. I really admire these guys. And the captain, I remember the captain of the men's team said, rugby is the most fun sport on the face of the planet, but it's way more fun when you're in shape. And so I had taken that for granted when I was in high school, but I remembered it as a 31-year-old man and said, you know what? I need to take that to heart. So just remember, this is part of the motivation for what that next goal is, right? Those days where you don't feel like going to the gym, which, you know, happen pretty frequently, especially, I guess maybe it's just me. I'm sure you're always motivated, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to be straight killing at the gym. But for us normal people, I quickly say, okay, I don't derive enjoyment from this, but it's worth it. But when I say it like that, I'm usually moving at about 70%, 80%. Mm-hmm. When I'm motivated and being, you know, an eager beaver for it, that's when I'm performing at 90 to 100%, right? And if I have that momentum for 90 to 100, I usually can push it even harder than that. And so this is the whole point of this episode, is to say, write those numbers down and how you feel, how you felt going into it, how you felt afterwards, because it starts to add up. And when you look back on it, you can bring that as, you know, an extra boost of that chutzpah that you need to be operating at a high level at the gym. Because this is all about optimizing that time there, doing the most efficient things there, and then loving that process. And inherently, it's not something that I love doing, right? But when you have that cycle going of being motivated, knowing why you're there, despite the circumstances, despite your energy levels, despite any other things that are going on in your life, you can be going to the gym and operating at such a high level that week 2, week 3, week 4, you can't wait to go back week 5, even when you're sore, you know? So the whole thing there is, before I get to the nitty gritty of writing down the statistics and how you felt, it's in order to move you out of that, you know, 70% zone, so that you're making the most of the time there, whether you're at the gym or in the neighborhood or at the park, whatever it may be, and then say, oh, you know what? This has nothing to do with how I feel. Oh, it doesn't matter how achy I am right now. It doesn't matter how stressed out I am. If I'm able to see what I've done before, and this is very recent, right? Because you're reviewing your statistics from the week before, maybe the month before, that's almost like a shot of espresso, right? Without the caffeine. And I love you like that. You saw that glance that I did looking down at the coffee. Yes. Yeah. So this is one of those moments where I'm like, that, but caffeine is also delicious. I just try and keep it to like a one drink minimum a week in order to not have the tolerance build up. Cause, this is a little side note, sidebar, where caffeine is great, but when you start to build up that tolerance, you need to reset those receptors. And when you do a coffee detox or caffeine detox, it's awful. It is awful. But really? Yeah.
Well, I think this should be another topic.
Let's do it. Well, I know you fasted. You fasted.
I quit coffee.
Yeah, but that's all. Oh, so kudos to you. My hat. If I was wearing a hat, I'd take my hat off to you. I think That is admirable, and I really, I just applaud you right now. In my world right now, I keep it to a one drink minimum, and in a rare case, maybe two, but not to have it as a pattern, right? And so I've...
Yeah, I think that's caffeine would be another topic.
Sure. Right? I dig it. And I think, especially as you get older, caffeine is such a great boost. How about this? When your kid is 3 years old, I'm gonna check it. I'm gonna check in with you to see how you feel with the no caffeine. I hope
we'll do another episode.
Yeah. No. This is not to like make you feel any type of way or break you down. I got sidetracked from my own sidetrack. So it's okay. All good. This is the whole point. This is very conversational. This is what happens, and there's no rush. So. The whole thing with the caffeine was saying it's delicious and it gives a boost to your performance. But the danger is having that addiction where you're saying, unless I have my coffee, unless I have my energy drink, I'm not able to perform, which is not true.
Coffee.
Yeah, but first coffee. Yeah. But that's actually, I think, a pitfall that can happen is you say, oh, well, if I don't have my headphones, how am I supposed to work out at the gym, right?
Oh, that one.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, if you knew what you were capable of, it wouldn't matter whether you were fasting and went to the gym and were powerlifting, right? It wouldn't matter if you didn't have that much sleep and you don't have your headphones. It wouldn't matter if someone in your family just died. It wouldn't matter if you were stressed out from work. The whole point is having tunnel vision when you get to the gym, because you know what your vision is and that you're working on it each day and being consistent with that. And that's at the point where the enjoyment has nothing to do with it. It's being focused on the task at hand and only thinking about the task at hand, right? So there comes a point where when you're in the zone at the gym, You see that you quickly go from 60 to 70 to 80 to 90 to 100% peak performance and are able to hold that and maintain it regardless of having coffee or not, energy drink or not, sleep or not, achiness or not, right? So the whole thing that's the secret for this episode is saying, when you go to the gym, write down what you did. Elliptical machine, treadmill, recumbent bike, whatever it be, say how long were you on the machine for, at what level intensity were you doing, and how did you feel when you got off. I know from firsthand experience, the first 10 minutes is the worst, right?
Yes. Right. I agree. If you don't start sweating, I think I'm like, oh my goodness, how much longer do I have on this machine?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was like, especially when I look up, I'm like, I hope there's no fan around here. I need a sweat.
Yeah. And half of these treadmills, they automatically start after like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you know? I'm like, yeah. Oh, where did that fan come from? Oh, that's clever. That's a clever design. Yeah, I'm not even too upset. Okay. So the whole thing, you know what? I try and keep a brief outline for these scripts so I don't just start meandering down every single thought that comes to my mind. But the... I just wanted to pause for a moment and do the accountability review. So we'll come back to writing down the stats and why. But today I weighed myself, weighed in at 244.4 pounds. And that is a 2 pound difference from the last time. But what's different is I look and I feel different. And so this is what we had talked about before, where the number looks like it's going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't actually match up to the reality of that that repurposing, that retooling of how your body operates, right? So it's definitely a moment where my cardio has gone up and been able to do more pull-ups. I haven't been focusing as much on push-ups, but we're going to give that a little superscript because we're going to come back to that for an example.
But in terms of those 2 pounds, it brings the thought, it's better to lose weight slow.
Yes.
Than to speed it up with, I don't know, you know, the stimulants, yes, right? Where you want to burn fat, mm-hmm, fast, right? Mm-hmm. Better to lose weight slowly and increment, you know, your discipline at the gym or what you're eating portions, mm-hmm, which now I know it, you know, bringing it back to the recording data, which, yeah, I have a few questions about.
Sure.
How to do that.
But that's a great point that you're making. I'm glad you said it because it reminded me of a note that I meant to have in front of me, but I don't have. Mm-hmm. And it was easy come, easy go. If, especially the more weight you're trying to lose, like we'll say 50 pounds, 75 pounds, 100 pounds or above, the quicker you have that progress, the harder it is to maintain. And so the slow and steady is the one that's easier to maintain because that's what your new pattern is. That's what your new habit is. And it's not like, I hit my goal, so now I'm done. I can go to my default mode, which was the thing that got you to the point of saying I need to be in the gym. But instead, you have just adjusted your lifestyle where it becomes second nature and you're able to do it. Doing it with the stimulants, with the crash diets, that is effective. But in the long haul, that is, it's very hurtful.
Yes.
So my testimony right now, say, hey, go at it as long as it takes, but then say, you know, there's not really an end in sight. This is what my new normal looks like. If I'm used to walking every 10 minutes after a meal, well, say that's just what life is like now. And walks are enjoyable, right? Especially you start changing it up, go a different path, go through a different part of town you don't normally go to, or a different part of the neighborhood you don't normally go to, or having the hobby of going to a new park, recreational area, hiking spot, beach, if you're near a beach, whatever the biome that you live in, just start exploring just for 10 minutes. All of a sudden your synapses start firing in a different way, and you find yourself being more creative because you just brought in new information that is off the beaten path, right? So, going back to recording your stats, the thing that is my primo example is saying push-ups. Like, how many push-ups can you do? Right? So, I on any given day, I'd be able to do 25 push-ups. Whether those 25 push-ups look good and in great form and my shoulder joints are cracking, it means nothing, right? I could probably just immediately just do 25 push-ups. But the thing was, it wasn't always like that. So the thing that had got me was saying, what if I did 25 push-ups 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? That's doable. I wouldn't be able to knock out 75 push-ups, but at the end of the day, that would equal 75 push-ups. So I did that for a week. And by the end of the week, it was easy, right? So week 2, let me push a little harder. Let me try and do 50 push-ups. And out of the gate, after having done 75 push-ups total a day, I did 50 immediately. I was like, whoa, I didn't know I could do that. All right, well, what if I did the same pattern, 50 push-ups 3 times a day? That'd be 150 push-ups a day. Cool. This was where my body adapted even faster, because by the end of the week, I said, you know what? I think I can push even harder. To me, it feels like 100 push-ups would be such a high aspiration, but I'm closer than I was 2 weeks ago. Let's try it. All right. So I'm going to do, aim for, actually, let me stop for a second. So how I tricked myself into doing it was saying, what if I did sets of 50 push-ups on the hour, every hour, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., oh, wow, right? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I did, and that comes out to be 400 push-ups a day, right? So having written that down, working backwards, for week 3 would have been 2,800 reps of push-ups 1 week. Week 2 of doing the 50 3 times a day would be 1,050 reps, right? Week 1 would have been 525 push-ups in a week. So having that all together, and looking at it, I'm like, whoa, that's more push-ups that I've done probably in 10 years, just in those 3 weeks. But it was the having that goal, sticking to it, seeing what I could do, and then saying, I think I can push a little bit harder. And it wasn't like I said, hey, I'm going to hit 1,000 push-ups a week. I just want to see how many I can do in 24 hours. And then the next 24 hours, and the next 24 hours, right? So the reason why I always say the push-up example is because that's like an exercise that doesn't bother me,
right?
And I'm like, oh, you know, push-ups aren't that bad. If it was something like, you know, pull-ups, that's the one that I dreaded, was doing pull-ups. There's other ways to ease into that, and then it becomes your normal, right? So the whole thing that I'm getting at is when you start to, if you had not recorded that and had seen those numbers, you probably wouldn't even guess it was, oh, about 1,000 a week, right? You'd probably either underestimate or overestimate. In my opinion, I'd say you probably underestimate it, right? So, maybe about 500 a day, right? So if you are doing that across the board, you could say, if I'm circuit training, how many reps, how many sets and reps did I do on the rowing machine? Or like I say, lat row, lat pull down. How many reps did I do on the shoulder press? How many reps did I do on the ab crunch, right? If you are in the moment in the gym, you might cap yourself at 10 reps, right, per set, when your body can handle way more than that. So if you're doing that calibration, oh, I'm going to set the ab crunch to 130 pounds. I'm going to do 15 reps. Oh, I'm going to do that 5 times. Catch how you feel at the end of that 5th set and then say, could I do more weight or more reps? And then record that, how you feel. And at the end of the week, say you do it every time you finish working out. Like that's that's how you cap off your workout with the 5 sets. By the end of the week, look at those numbers and you will impress yourself. Week 2, same thing. Week 3, same thing. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Because this is all in that premise of saying go hard for 6 to 8 weeks and then reassess how you feel, right? Because the macro, the big picture, is not always something that is conceivable while you're in it, while you're in the micro. But then when you're on the mountaintop, your point of view changes. And then you say, whoa, what else can I do? What do I have boundaries? I think I might be able to expand those boundaries because I'm now at a place that I didn't even think was possible.
What's so funny? I like jokes.
Thinking about this importance of recording, I'm like, how about, do we have to write down what we eat as well? Is that important?
I would do that. So my position is more to get the raw data for what your default is. Yes, but don't become shackled to that, right? Because
you gotta write this down.
Yeah. Oh no. But I'd say if you're brand new to a fitness journey, it's not like, oh, this is a flash in the pan. This is going to be a long process. It's good to see what you're working with and then what you're taking in. So something like looking at this Krispy Kreme caramel latte that I got, right?
Do you have a glazed donut?
So technically, yes. So I had a half because baby girl didn't finish her. And so like normally I'd avoid donuts. I already know my weakness are pizza and ice cream cookies. And I want to keep it that the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. So I know donuts, especially Krispy Kreme. Like I'm going to have like 4, right? And then immediately regret it, crash out, and then my brain not work for the next 7 hours. But the half a donut is that moment. It was like, all right, cool. This is a little taste of something that's really, it's hyper palatable and delicious, but it's not what I do normally. So I didn't even consider it. But then again, I'm not having that harsh moment. I shouldn't say harsh. Not having that being overly meticulous with writing down what the macros are, because I have a general range. And if we, like last week, if we're working within that food formula, you know, calories burned needs to be greater than the calories in, then you'll be in that deficit. A half a glazed donut is not going to do anything, right? It's just that when it's that pattern of not having parameters, having as many glazed donuts as you want, right, and not working out as much, that's the problem, right? So in all of this, it's addressing that systemic issue of food in versus calories out, and that not being a thing. It was way more calories in than calories being burned.
So if my goal is to lose 10 pounds because I have a wedding in a few months, right? So I should record what I am eating, and I should record what I am doing as a workout, but not be like militant, be, you know, so strict. Like you're saying,
Be strict at first, just to see what you're working with. But by week two or three, you don't need to do that.
To form that discipline.
Yeah, form that new habit, form that new loop. And so that's actually the whole reason why I do the accountability check-in for these episodes, because that's what my goal was. Is say, when I started the 8-week program, the current weight was 250.8 pounds. The goal is 235, which is my original, how I get to 100 pounds and just hold it, maintain it, right? So I need to go down 15 pounds, and I know the timeline, 8 weeks, 1.5 to 2.5 pounds a week, and I'm right on track. The whole thing, especially if you're looking at the timestamp for these episodes, I fluctuated a bunch because of moving, you know, packing up, unpacking, moving, baby girl schedule, and then my schedule in between time needed to recalibrate all that together. So it was, if I did the math, I think right now would be week 8, but given the circumstances, I said, okay, here's a slight pause. I'm going to be aware that it's a pause. It's not a break. It's not a extended hiatus with no end in sight. I said, this is an adjustment period. So if I know if I was doing this 15 pounds, let's say 10 to 15 pounds, you could probably do that really fast if your life was not in flux, right? So if you know what your schedule looks like, then there's nothing else to do but to stick to, have that goal, have that strategy, stick to that strategy, and then all of a sudden you'll be in week 4 and you'll probably be ahead of schedule, right? I know the exact date of that wedding, and you might have 10 weeks. You could probably push yourself even further. And the one thing I always want to harp on is saying, having that mini goal, like say 10 pounds, that's the small goal, already start to come up with your next goal after that. Even it's something like, I want to run a little bit faster or beat a specific time on whatever the cardio is, or just increase the intensity. Make it that. So I don't know, were you doing like a boot camp thing?
Yes.
All right. I'd say something like, what would happen if you did an extra boot camp class? Would you be able to do double? That? Yeah. Would you be able to do a double? Yeah. Double. Would you be able to do a double?
I can try.
Okay. Yeah. So how often were you doing your boot camp?
Oh, I do every day.
Okay. So I'd say, especially since your body's smart from doing that. Oh, can you do two? Nice. What if you did twice a week? You did another one, but a different type of boot camp, right? Or a cycling class or a swimming class, but that was your twice a day, right? The standard is doing the boot camp in the morning and then going back and doing another intense one. You'll quickly see you're able to do something that was not possible a year ago, and now it's adjusting to what you had made your new standard.
Right.
Right. Oh. Yeah, that
sounds good. Right. So wait. The first 10 pounds, is it the first 10 pounds? Or just water, aren't they?
So I I don't really have too many comments on that one because it's been such a process for over the years of being like, I don't even know where it first came from. So when I was 335 pounds, I adjusted my diet to eat right for my blood type. The 35 pounds came off really fast because I had changed what I was eating and was aware of what I was eating. So I'm sure, yeah, there was water weight in there too, but then it was also my body adjusting real fast to the program. So, you know, I'm sure, well, I guess in this moment right now, it would be that moment of where the fluctuation in weight happens, even when you're on your P's and Q's for those 8 weeks. So I wouldn't be too scrupulous with saying where it comes from because it's gone. As long as you're not dehydrated and, you know, passing out and getting dizzy. I guess getting dizzy would happen first before you pass out. But I didn't go to passing out college. That doesn't make sense. I'm not a professional. I'm not a professional at knowing where people pass out from, right? So the whole thing now is saying, having gathered that information and then reviewing it, say at the end of the week for wherever you are in the 6 to 8 weeks, is usually enough to say, to inspire you, to inspire yourself. Because like I said all the time, half the time I don't feel like going, but then saying, oh, well, what does it feel like when I'm done, when I've hit that goal, right? It felt like a monumental accomplishment. And so all of a sudden there wasn't that internal monologue of being like, well, you know what? I deserve a break. Oh, you know what? This is good enough. Right? It's more like, oh, what else can I do? Right? What happens if I try and do, I start working on those pull-ups. I don't like doing pull-ups. What happens when I start working on it? I wonder if I could do 100 pull-ups in a gym routine, like in a day, in a workout. Well, quickly your body adjusts and you're like, oh, well, sky's the limit. Let's see what else, right? And I'll pay homage to the Murph, right? It's, you know, the Murph is, you know, the Murph. So doing the 1 mile run, 100 push-ups, 200 pull-ups, 300 squats, and then ending with a 1 mile run, right? So that is incredibly intimidating if you've never attempted that. And the kicker is the 1 mile front and back, right? So at first you're like, oh, hey, you know, when I was young, I'd warm up with a mile. Yeah, but then you weren't doing the push-ups, pull-ups, and squats. But then what's killer is that mile at the end, right? So I don't want to hang my hat too hard on that one, especially if someone is listening this the first time and is just overwhelmed by all the things that I'm saying. So the whole thing that I'm getting at right now is saying, record your results, or I say record your statistics week 1 through 8, but then also review them so that you can see how far you've come and what you've done. Because it's very hard to visualize it when you're just in medias res, when you're in the middle of doing it, right? And then when you look back, especially on those rainy days, you say, oh, whoa, I have come a long way. Those negative, the negative internal monologue has now become more silent because I've seen with my own eyes, I've felt it, I'm living it right now. So that's the key takeaway of record and review. So I feel like I say so a lot. I don't know if I'm hyper aware just because I had some coffee today, but maybe so what? yeah. So what? All right. The whole thing now is saying, let me stop for a second. Do you have any questions?
Actually, I do. One that just came to my mind was that, how do I come back to recording my data and, you know, to my routine after vacation?
Oh, Man. All right. Yeah. So that's what put me.
Costing me right now.
That's so that might be the question of the year, because that's what actually had me go from 235, which took so long to get to 250. How did that happen? Oh, that's because I knew what I was capable of and assumed my body would stay in shape for, you know, 3 weeks off. No, that's not what happens, right? Especially when you're eating everything in sight, cheesesteaks, pizza, donuts, cookies, all that stuff happens over the holidays. So I would say just, and this is actually being the new experiment because I haven't done this. That's what I didn't do this past year, and almost, it didn't sabotage, but it just, it postponed what my goals were, right? And that's the hardest part, especially after getting in shape, is to keep that momentum going and to push. And that's why every time I say that, come up with your second goal. So if you already know, oh, it's approaching the holidays now. The warning is it's Halloween, right? That's the warning. Early, the seasons are changing.
Yes.
Like both metaphorically and actually in real life, the seasons are changing.
Spice.
Name it. I'll take it.
Pumpkin spice candles.
I feel like that's more. Oh yeah, good bathroom. I need it. The whole thing right there. I feel like there's such a nostalgic pull to that. Where I'm like, I don't ever think about pumpkin outside of that. Like every now and then, I'm like, oh hey, look, it's a pumpkin spice bisque. That's a little soup, but cool. But then when it comes fall, comes autumn for some Americans, right? The whole thing's like, oh, I have to try this.
Yes.
But what's the pull on that? It's like, I know what pumpkin tastes like. I also know what turkey tastes like. I don't go wild for turkey outside of November, right? All right. Maybe that's just like a deep-rooted thing.
Yeah, you go to the market and everything, right? As soon as you walk in, it's like pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Everything.
Hey, that's
I mean, hey, pumpkin. Hey, just pumpkin. Say, no, don't ever call me pumpkin. Squash. All right, so the whole thing with that is saying that's the perfect time for a break, because you can let your parameters down a slight just to maintain your sanity and also experience the good things of life. But then if you have your goal in mind and have reviewed what you went through already, you kind of have your own accountability backstop already set. Right, so weight gain is bound to happen over the holidays, but how much will be up to you. Right, so I don't ever want to go up 15 pounds drastically because it was the holidays again. So it's just the writing it out, reviewing it, and then thinking of it. I'd say daily on in this area. So yeah.
So this is a good time to start now. So
start now.
Discipline.
Yes.
You know, you're disciplined by the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You know, you have your new norm, right? And it's, your new norm of not going back to where you were at.
Yeah.
You know, you could indulge here and there,
here
but
there.
Not the same like you used to.
If you really want to see the damage that can do to sabotage a routine, record all those things. You don't have to, you know, oh man, this put me over my macros. Oh man, you know what this is going to do to my waistline? No, don't even say it. Just write it down. Write down what those calories are in that drink or in that dessert, and then see what you'd been doing to lose it, because that's what the whole last episode was about, that food formula. Calories burned versus calories in. If you knew a certain seasonal drink was half of your caloric intake, and it's not even food, it's a drink. Half, if you knew it was half, you probably would be careful with it, right? You might not want to do the large. You can do the medium, do the small, right? But it would be...
Not the venti.
Not the venti.
Not the trenta.
Right. This would be half, just like with the half donut that I had today, right? Like, oh, this is the taste, this is enough, and where are you at right now for where you're going?
Costco samples.
Well, yeah, be careful with those samples, right? You have enjoy a sample, but it's just a little taste, a little touch of that, right?
just kidding.
You can't. Well, so man, I feel like we're gonna get lost in the weeds because there's that. That's such, isn't that where the tension's at though? It's like the thing that is free, that is enjoyable.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that can't hurt too much, but when it becomes the standard of always, have a little bit of this, have a little bit of this, you're slowly sabotaging. You're not only backsliding, but it's like taking you off course in such a subtle way that it feels like, oh, it's not that bad. So when you record that stuff, you'll say, oh, now I see where that's happening. Oh, I now see where I quickly had gained weight when this was not the routine. So the whole thing I wanted to keep bringing home is be intense and intentional for 6 to 8 weeks, and then let your guard down for just a couple days, but then be aware of what that next goal was after you had hit your goal, right? Maybe you didn't hit your goal. We'll say why. Where was it? For me, it was preparation, and then how intense those restrictions were, right? So if I knew that my mind would become so anal for what I was doing that the second I let down my parameters, it was open season on anything delicious, then I'd say, okay, let me not be as intense, not be so militaristic and scrupulous with what I'm consuming, but have a healthy relationship between what's beneficial and then what's indulgence, what's just dessert. So the other weak link was the preparation. And I think that's another subtle snare, is if you're not aware of what you're getting yourself into for the holidays or with friends or even in public, you're bound to get knocked off course. So I got to touch back on saying, I don't think it's just me. I'm saying so a lot. I don't want that to be my catchphrase where people are like, hey, so this, so that. All right. The whole review of saying what your weak links are is for knowledge of self, you know, that self-awareness. I know that if I don't have the safety net, aka those backstops, I'm definitely gonna fall in some area. And one of them is saying, okay, am I getting enough veggies? What's that emergency meal that's easy to do regardless of the circumstance? And am I on that salad life? So the moment of saying, what is my body asking for and craving when I'm restricting? And it's definitely carbs. Absolutely. Something salty and full of carbs. The secret right there is making a cereal that is healthy with a touch of, you know, unhealthy cereal, right? Something that you grew up with as a kid, right? So
just to confuse the mind.
Yeah, confuse. Yeah, trick. It's a little easy trick, and
tricks are for
kids. A little product placement right there. You know, Kellogg, if you want to support the UVU podcast, I am open. I'm open to keep that cost low. Let's do this. Yeah, yeah, the thousand ounce bag. But the whole thing that I'm getting at is if I have that as a backstop, it doesn't sabotage the diet. Having a meal prepped, cereal ready to go, and you have no reason to be going for the donut, the pizza, the whatever it may be. Insert your favorite food right there. And if there's a moment, let me just stop and say, the things that sabotage my diet are being hungry, knowing I'm in a deficit, but my eyes being really large for whatever that thing is that's delicious. If I've had that cereal, and I'll tell you the mix right now, it's going to be one part Ezekiel, you know, that really deep grain, healthy carb. It's a good carb, a really solid carb right there, with fiber too, with something a little bit chocolatey, maybe a kashi, like a kashi chocolate mix, then with something else, right? Whether I want to be on to trick the taste buds and then also feel full. So it wouldn't be going over the whatever the macros are. So I know that the cereal mix, if say I have three different cereals, put them all together, we'll go with the chocolatey Kashi, the Ezekiel, and we'll say an alternative to Honey Nut Cheerios. If I have that and then have like a touch of non-dairy milk, I know I'm going to catch flack for saying that, or especially with my East Coast contingent. If I have a dairy alternative milk substitute with that cereal mix that I've made, it satisfies all those cravings and is enough on the gut to say, oh, I'm no longer ravenously hungry, right? I can go to BJ's Brewery or In-N-Out, or all these, whatever the place is, and not overindulge. Because, you know, once you bite into a burger, all bets are off, right? Yeah. So that, I think, is the balancing act that you have to stay focused and attuned into for those 6 to 8 weeks, and then say, here's enough awareness going into the holidays or people who aren't on that type of active lifestyle. How do you not be a buzzkill? But then how do you also enjoy it? My thing is, don't get the fries, right? Whatever the place is, don't sub the salad in, then have the main entree, right? And you're good. And you just saved yourself easily 600 calories, right? So. Just rub it in the sub. The feeling afterwards of that satisfaction is something that you can bottle up and savor for a rainy day. And that's the thing that this whole episode's about, of saying, what can I do? Let me go for it for a set amount of time. Looking at those numbers that I did before, what am I doing now? Adjusting to that new lifestyle, but then not going back and going into your default mode. It's all about changing that default mode, and this is one of those ways to do it. Record your cardio, record your weights, record your feelings. How do you actually feel in this moment? But then up your game by saying, you know what? I'm in love with this process. This is what the process looks like. You hit that goal. Just bottle that feeling that you have, so that you can save it for a later day when you don't feel like going to the gym. Yeah. So I think that's that. Actually, let me do a little synthesis of a program, just in case this is the first episode that someone's listened to. I know there's a lot to take in, especially if you're not used to it. So I will say, write what your goal is. Both Alicia and I have said 10 to 15 pounds. For me, it was 15 pounds. Do it for 8 weeks of training in a certain fashion, optimizing that gym time. For me, that's doing cardio first, then stretching, and then doing the weights. Be process driven and not feelings driven. Be careful on what the food is. So you have your restrictions up, your boundaries up, your walls up for what you do, what you take in, what you don't take in. You have your backstops prepared, whether that's meal prepping or saying, when I get hungry, I'm bound to get hungry, what do I have in place instead of just going for filling that desire for food, that need? It was a necessity, that necessity for food. What do I do? For me, it's either going to be a salad, it's going to be a bowl of cereal, that not just any cereal, but specific cereal, or doing a veggie smoothie or natural juice, right? Record all this data so you know what you're dealing with, and then review it. Yeah. So we have 5 more seconds to say, so what do you want to talk about?
So when are we starting our goal?
Oh, so I'm glad you said that, because the second you even conceive the idea, say that's the day. Don't say Monday. Don't say I'm waiting for the New Year's. Say right now. imagine what it's going to feel like to get there. What are you going to do? Right? It's not going to be, it's not going to be as insurmountable as before. And you visualized it. You see, you have the plan to get there, right? If not, come up with one right now. That's why I reviewed what my plan is for losing the 15 pounds. Have your guard up, and also realize it's only for a set amount of time. After you get there, you can reassess what you want to do. This is the whole reason for showing you the push-up example, because that's something that I did do, and I didn't know I could do thousands of push-ups in a week, right? Should we touch on the declarations again? Sure. Okay. So I'm gonna need you to keep track of how much I say so, because I am gonna strike that out. That's a new goal of mine. Matter of fact, I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut instead of saying so. That doesn't count. Okay, that counts. Dang it. Oh, all right. So with, oh no, I fell into it so easily. All right, I'm at two. That's the end. That's the end right now. The declarations are when you say the truth about your situation out loud, but it's a positive one. One of them was saying, I am an athlete. Before? No, I was a gym goer. Caught myself. The next thing would be saying, I'm made in the image and likeness of God. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Schwarzenegger said that. How awesome is that? Go watch Pumping Iron. He says it. He's like, oh, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is to feel, imagine where you are when you hit that goal and you're talking to yourself now. How would future self Alicia talk to Alicia right now? For me, future Dave Woods says, this feels great. I didn't know this was possible, but here I am. You can see yourself 15 pounds lighter. Imagine what it feels like going upstairs or having to run after a three-year-old that is high octane and full of energy all the time. You're not going to be out of breath. Wouldn't you like that? Oh, me, present self, saying, yo, I'd love that. That'd be great. This is what that looks like, that process of 68 weeks, pushing hard, breaking what the default was, and then going forward becomes ingrained in your psyche. Go for it. Mm-hmm. I guess in the 30 seconds left, it would be saying the macro versus the micro is something that is hard to envision unless you record the results and review it. So this is the whole point of this episode, is saying, write it down, write down the results, look at it. You're bound to blow your mind from it because it's not what people do normally. And then use that as the fuel when you're feeling about 70%, you're performing at 70%. Oh, do you think it's possible to perform at 120%? You might find that you can do that, because you had progressed so much. We will we'll end on that note and say this is a key that I found to unlock the fitness journey door. I can only give you the key, but you got to walk through the door yourself. Till we meet again, peace and blessings.